Ryan, the Buffalo Bills have done what we kind of expected they would do. They have traded Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans. We're back from vacation. We finally get to talk about it. That Bills poster is over your right shoulder, and we're going to jump right into it. These are the details, which, you know, don't hold your breath, but this is what it is. The Bills receive a 2025 second round pick, so a second round pick next year. The Texans receive...
From the Vikings,
correct. Texans receive Diggs, Stephon Diggs, wide receiver, you've heard of him. They also get a sixth round pick this year and a fifth round pick next year. The Bills have to eat the $31 million dead cap hit this season. Now, if they had kept Diggs, they were still eating $28 million. So you've seen a lot of people throw out the dead cap number. They were eating most of it regardless. You know what I mean? So it's not like just trading him and they added 31. They were already in for the money regardless. Texans also reworked Diggs' contract to basically make him a free agent after this upcoming season. So it's like a 1 year and done, and then they can assess it from there. I will give it to you first. I have a lot of thoughts. I know you do. Where do you stand on this? What does this mean for Buffalo?
The fact that Diggs is gone is good, okay? Because it started becoming toxic at Buffalo. There were rumors that Allen blew up on Diggs, you know, a time or two. There were rumors that Diggs just wasn't happy. And, you know, you have these generational, right, you have these generational duos that just do so well together. And, you know, I've heard Cowherd compared, you know, Brady and Edelman, right? I mean, you had all these quarterback wide receiver duos that just worked. Josh Allen and Diggs never did that. They never saw on the same page ever. I mean, they may have one good throw here and there, but ultimately throughout Diggs' entire time there, one of them was always frustrated with the other. We saw it on national television. They would get into, I mean, it's almost physical arguments on the sideline, right? That's not good for the team. And when it comes down to it, who are you going to pick, Diggs or your star quarterback? Well, let's be honest, Diggs is older, and it's easier to move him out and then keep Allen. Obviously, that was never a question if they're going to get rid of Allen or not. But you build a team around that star quarterback because they're a dime. Wide receivers are a dime a dozen. Quarterbacks are not. I know you haven't asked me yet what I think the Bills should do, but ultimately what it comes down to, and I can go more into it if you want me to right now, what I think they should do, where I think they should go, but I want your take on it before I go there. They're going to hope and pray for the draft. Getting rid of Diggs was a very, very good move on the Bills' part to get that out of the locker room. However, it was a terrible trade. Terrible trade.
Yeah, so I agree with you on a lot of it. I'm conflicted on this. So first off, you said they were never a great duo. They were, numbers-wise. They just never got the trophies they wanted. Just looked up Stephon Diggs' numbers in Buffalo. 2020, 1,500 yards, 8 touchdowns. 21, 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns. 1,400 yards, 11 touchdowns. 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns. So had the numbers, had the success, even made the playoff runs, but just felt like they could never get over the hump. Stephon Diggs has a history of being a diva. We know wide receivers are divas, but he particularly does this. He forced his way out of Minnesota, and now he's forced his way out of Buffalo. I don't like, and I know Josh Allen isn't necessarily the typical quote-unquote leader that you see from quarterbacks. He is a leader, okay? But obviously, when he's having a bad game, you kind of see him sometimes get down on himself. I don't like my wide receiver coming over and throwing his arms up in front of the quarterback in the middle of a playoff game, okay? I don't like that. And I'm not saying I don't like that on Josh Allen's part. I don't like that on Stephon Diggs' part. This was such an indication that Buffalo was done with him and they did not care what happened. They wanted to get him out of the building. We were all surprised he stayed there last season, right? Before last season, the whole training camp thing, and he wasn't there, and Sean McDermott had a press conference, and he was like, I'm very concerned. And then the next day, he was like, what are y'all talking about? I'm not even worried about it. It's like, buddy, you told us you were concerned. This has been an issue brewing for a while. This is what Stephon Diggs, he acts like a child. I'm sorry. A grown man doing this and tweeting his feelings, and he's acting like a seventh grader, okay? That's just what he's doing. Maybe his reasons are justified. Maybe they're not. I'm not going to go into that. However, it's clear Buffalo just was done with him. They wanted to move on from him. He got no yards or targets at the end of last year. He dropped that ball in the playoff game against the Chiefs. The trade is surprising. They're only getting a second round pick and it's next year's second round pick. I don't love that. I would have really liked to get a pick this year, and to give up Diggs the sixth and the fifth, it seems like a lot when you're eating most of the contract. I don't like Brandon Bean, but obviously this is what the market had dictated, right? He's not going to just go, you know, bend over a barrel for Houston. So this is probably fair as far as the way the market viewed him, because I'm sure the other NFL teams looked at Stephon Diggs and said, he's kind of a headache. You know what I mean? Is he even worth it at his age? Is it worth trading for him and bringing him in? That had to be a consideration for some of these teams, right?
You would think. But honestly, where he landed at the Texans is where he's probably going to finish his career and where he's probably going to have a pretty successful run. You got a tough wide receiver room there, and I think that's one of Diggs' problems, and this is maybe a little bit out of the box thinking, but you look at the wide receiver core for the Texans versus the Bills, whose is better?
Oh, the Texans, no doubt.
By miles.
By I miles, mean, yeah.
Miles and miles and miles. Kilometers even, for our UK brotherhoods. But when you look at Stephon Diggs at the Bills, he was the guy. Whether or not you liked it or not, he was the best talent on the team. Now, the numbers said otherwise, right? That they had successful runs together, Allen and Diggs, but just the chemistry was never there, ever. Like, yeah, you can throw the ball to somebody 100 times and get, you know, 1,000 touchdowns and 1,000,000 yards, but the chemistry is just never there. It was never where Diggs could be in the mid of a break and the ball would be there for him, because Allen and Diggs never saw that invisible connection on the field that so many other great quarterback wide receiver duos do.
And then Diggs started bitching and wanting the ball more, and then Allen's exactly. Trying to force feed him the ball, and it starts to spiral from there. Well, I mean, we saw it happen.
But Diggs going into a quarter or a wide receiver locker room that has such star talent and young talent, hopefully he can mentor. I don't see that happening, because I don't think Diggs is that type of guy. He's out for himself and he still wants to play like he's 25, and he's not. But I think being around such star talent with Nico Collins and Tank Dell and people like that, like, he's going to have to be okay with not being the number one guy, or he can go home.
Well, he's not going to be okay with it. I'll go ahead and tell you.
Then he can go home. That's the beauty of the one-year deal.
Right, exactly.
Who cares what happens? Like, hey, he's either going to add to our team, or he's going to be a menace like he has been on every other team he's been on, and we'll kick him out after a year.
Yeah, and from the Texans' perspective, it only cost us a second-round pick that technically wasn't ours anyway. We had traded to get it. So before we talk about Houston...
It was spare change.
Yeah, spare change, exactly. I've got something I want to say about Buffalo as well, but you take it first because I might be able to play off of yours a little bit better. You said what you think Buffalo should do, what this means for them going forward. Kind of expand on your thoughts there.
I want to talk about where they go in the wide receiver market a little bit, okay? Because they lost Gabe Davis, which I'm not upset about either. No. And they lost Stephon Diggs, also not upset about. They added Curtis Samuel. I'm happy about that, because I think that's an actual really good wide receiver number two. What they have to do here is burn everything down to get as many wide receivers as they possibly can. I was listening to a podcast earlier, and I agree wholeheartedly. I actually thought about this before I even heard it.
What was the podcast?
They have...
Do you remember?
Don't ask me on the spot.
Sorry, I was going to
remember. No, it's okay. I want to say it was like a PFF branded podcast. So okay. I have to go back and find out. But anyway, the Bills have the 28th overall pick. Then they have the second round number 60. And then they have 128, 133 in the fourth round.
Right.
I think for their first three picks, they have to go back-to-back wide receivers. And you ask me, well, but they need other positions. Yes, they do. However, what they need more in the AFC is a high-powered offense. So I've heard some people say, well, they need a defensive lineman. Yes, they do. But in the AFC, what is your biggest competition? It's the
Patrick
offense.
Mahomes?
It's an offensive game, right? It's the offensive division. It's an offensive conference. Like that, the AFC, if you don't have an offense, you don't have a team. That's all there is to it. So until you can get wide receiver pieces on the field, you're up the creek without a paddle. I don't care how good your defense is. It's not going to be able to overcome and match up the points. So where do they go? At pick 28, they're probably going to land somewhere around Adonai Mitchell, possibly, I mean, I've heard some people throw out Brian Thomas Jr.
No chance Brian Thomas Jr. is available at 28. They'd have to trade up for him.
I agree with that. I don't agree with that. And I do not think the worst thing that the Bills could do is trade up for a wide receiver right now. Because when you look at people like Rashee Rice and guys that have come out of a later round draft pick and been really successful guys, it's not worth trading up to get somebody that's probably going to pan out on the same level as an Adonai Mitchell that would fall in 28.
And buddy, this is a really deep wide receiver draft. One of my favorite wide receivers in the draft is Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. He's going to go in the second round. So like there are, you can get good receivers in the second and third round this draft. I think there's a very good chance A.D. Mitchell falls to them. He's a great receiver. If I was the Buffalo Bills, that's who I would be targeting. I'm with you. I would not trade up. We need the picks. Like we honestly, honestly, Ryan, I could make an argument you trade down. You trade down into like, you know, middle of the second, still get a good receiver and add another pick later in the draft to get more pieces. That's not crazy to me.
It's not crazy, but I still think you take Adonai Mitchell, right? And a guy that is supposed to be pretty good, right? Second round, you get another guy. Third round, you get a deeper wide receiver prospect that you're not going
to. I was going to say, you're not going to go three in a row. I think that's absurd.
I would.
Okay, so this
is 100% would. But this is why, though, because how many wide receivers do we see come out that actually make it and do really well as a late round draft pick? It's not often. It does happen, like Rashee Rice.
I feel like it's happening more lately, though, the past couple of years.
So you take three guys. You only have Curtis Samuel. That is your only wide receiver.
I like Shakir a lot. Let me just interject. This is why I'm calling timeout on the Bills' panic mode and wide receiver. Yes, we need wide receiver. That first round draft pick is going to be wide receiver. 100, go ahead and lock it in. However, I'm okay having Curtis Samuel and Shakir. Shakir was coming on decent at the end of last year. I think having him as like one of your primary slot guys, moving him around, same with Samuel, you draft a guy in the first round, then let's go defense, let's go offensive line, grab another receiver maybe in the fourth to plug in there. But if you got A.D. Mitchell, Shakir, and Curtis Samuel, as well as Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, I think that's a good receiving core.
I still like my chances of taking three wide receivers and hoping that two pan out. But you're
going to be so depleted in other... They need interior defensive line. They need an edge rusher. They need secondary help. You cannot just hammer one position and say, help us, Josh Allen, because you can address that position and still get the others. There's not as many good edge rushers. There's a decent amount of secondary players in the draft, but I think you could get two receivers, an edge rusher, offensive lineman.
But you got to think, okay, you at least take your first two wide receivers, okay? You take first two. Well, then in the fourth round, you get pick 128, 133. Well, you pick up a defensive piece there. And then the other one, you could burn on a wide receiver too. Because then in the next round, you've got three picks in the fifth round. Three of them.
Yeah, but the fifth round is what we're really throwing darts, hoping we get starters at that point.
Well, yeah, but I mean, look at the Chiefs. They did it. They did it the seventh round.
Yep, but I mean, okay, I hate to break it to you. Brett Veach is a better GM than Brandon Bean.
You think? He's the best. He's the best in the game right now. But I'm just saying, to me, it's a dumpster fire with receivers right now. You are throwing everything you got. The only other option you have is to go pick somebody else up. And
you can't afford it.
You can't afford it, and you're going to have to give up too much capital to get somebody.
I'm not panicking as much as you, man. I really think Shakir, Samuel, and A.D. Mitchell would be good. Now, you could get one later on, but I don't accept the premise of bypassing edge rusher, offensive line. Like, they need... Ryan, do you remember a couple weeks ago when they got rid of every player on the team? This roster is depleted. This is a rebuild. It is 100% a rebuild with a franchise quarterback. You can't put your blinders on and focus on one position. I think that would be really detrimental to the offense.
You at least get your first two receivers taken care of. You get two good, talented people out of the first and second round. That's my wholehearted way of drafting this season. Because I know it's a rebuild, and I know you need pieces elsewhere. But if you don't have somebody for Josh Allen to throw the ball to, what have we seen year after year? Josh Allen puts the game on his shoulders, and he gets that ghosty-eyed look, mean, he can't do it. Like, he's just, he can't. He's not like Patrick Mahomes.
So you don't like Shakir as much as I do.
No, I do like Shakir, but I just, I don't have enough confidence in him, because you could say the same thing if it was 2-3 years ago with Gabe Davis. It's like, well, yeah, he's shown some pretty good things.
That's a fair point.
Next season, and Gabe Davis falls flatline.
Like, I will give you that.
That's just, that we don't know. We don't know about any of these guys in the draft either.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to. Because if you get three and only two work or only one work, well, hey, you tried. Like,
I think there's a really good chance they draft two of them. I think that there's a really good chance.
Receiver help, you have zero shot at making it all the way. And honestly, just the way the Bills have done the offseason, I'm super happy about it, because it's a complete, like, let's dump it all out, fill it back up, and start again. And well, while Josh Allen is still pretty young, I hope in some ways that it doesn't pan out. Like, I've used pan out a lot, but I hope it doesn't work out for the Bills as well as my inner being wants it to, just because I do think that Sean McVay needs to be exited out of the building.
Well, they wish they had Sean McVay. You're talking about Sean McDermott.
Sean McDermott.
But if they had Sean McVay, we'd be throwing a fucking party.
There's 38 Seans in the NFL right now.
Okay, so let me play off of that.
I think Sean McDermott needs to be taken out of the building. I don't know that Sean McDermott could ever take them to a Super Bowl. There, I said it.
So, no, I agree. I think me and you have been on the get rid of Sean McDermott train long before. However, it was set in stone to me when McDermott turned it around last year after the whole 9/11 story broke or whatever, and he turned it around and made that playoff run. He saved his job. Me and you talked when it happened. We both said the best thing would be for the Bills to not make the playoffs, and then they would move on from McDermott. He saved his job. I have come around a little bit. Again, I would still like to get rid of McDermott and get an offensive coach, but that's just not happening. So I think McDermott has taken so much heat off of Brandon Bean. And I was going to soapbox on this. I won't spend too much time on it. I think Brandon Bean has wasted his Super Bowl window. Now, the window is always open when you have a franchise quarterback as talented as Josh Allen. You have the second most talented quarterback in the league. The window is always open. It's like Joe Burrow said, the window's open my entire career. It's true. I mean, it is just true. When you have that guy, you can win a Super Bowl. But Brandon Bean drafting Josh Allen is the only thing that has kept his job safe. If you look back on his draft picks, he's had some decent draft picks. It's not like it's an abject disaster, but most of them aren't even on the team anymore. The Von Miller contract was a huge mistake. They're still paying the price for that. And that's kind of been one of the things that's bothered me about him. Brandon Bean has been rolling the dice with older players. It's like for 2 years, they've said, oh, let's just pay the older guys and hold on to it. And I think that's been a mistake. I think it's set them backwards. And we're going to see if they can build off of it at this point, but I don't know if they'll be able to, man. I really don't, because it's such a depleted roster. They have to do what the Rams did, what the Chiefs did. They have to have a home run draft. The Bills' 2024 season, the outcome of it is going to be decided on draft night.
So let's talk about, I want to get your opinion. We talked about the Bills, acknowledgium. Let's talk about what it means for the Texans receiving Stephon Diggs. I know we've mentioned it just a little bit, but I want to get your honest take. Like, where does Diggs fit into this game plan? Where does he fit into the season-long ideal of where the Texans should go? Do you think he becomes, I mean, obviously he's going to be a starter day one, right? Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, he will be the number one.
Is he going to add so much to this team or cause more controversy within the locker room? Like, I can see the good and evil, the devil, the angel sitting on the shoulder. Like, which one's it going to be?
Okay. I think it will be good because it's year one. You know, the beginning in Minnesota was good. The first 2 years in Buffalo were good. It's like he has a 2-year window and then he gets burned out. I think coming into a new environment, look, this is not a secret. He wanted to be in Texas close to his brother, Trayvon Diggs, who's in Dallas. Okay. I think he wanted to go to Dallas. And, you know, that wasn't really happening. So he ends up with Houston. He's still in that area. I think he's going to be happy. He's in the state he wanted to go with, he wanted to be in. He's with one of the best quarterbacks in the league, a young guy, a young coach, a culture that's building something. I think he's going to be re-energized, feeling like he's helping build who the Houston Texans are. And they are a legit Super Bowl contender. you're going to put him out as your X receiver. You've got Nico Collins as your other, and then you got Tank Dell who can work the slot coming back off of injury. They're as well as Dalton Schultz, the tight end. I don't think he's going to get as many targets as he got in Buffalo. I don't know if he's going to have that many yards, but I think he will be okay with it because it's his first year with the Texans and he's not going to get burned out that quick. And he knows what he's signing up for. That's kind of how I see it. I almost don't see it going bad. I think worst case scenario is he regresses as far as his age goes more than we anticipated. And what we saw those last 6 weeks in Buffalo is just who he is now. Where we kind of think that was a reflection of Joe Brady's play calling. Maybe it's a reflection of Stephon Diggs' talent. That's worst case scenario. But I think, you know, average, he's going to be a good addition for the offense.
I hope that it does turn out well for the Texans. And I think this position-wise and talent-wise, I still think Diggs is capable. And I think he'll probably have some pretty good numbers. But I agree with you. His targets are going to be limited or reduced. When you have that much talent around you in that receiver room, like the Texans, this was icing on the cake for the Texans, okay? They didn't need Stephon Diggs. They got him because he was cheap for them and low risk. And what's better than a super talented, low risk, cheap guy? Nothing. Nothing's better.
No, as I said earlier when we talked about him, just briefly, the Texans are doing what you're supposed to do when you have a great quarterback on a rookie contract. Spend, spend, spend. Break out that checkbook. Bring in everybody you can because we know Patrick Mahomes being the exception, you do not win a Super Bowl with a quarterback on a big contract. When your quarterback's taking up 20% or more of your cap, you don't win the Super Bowl in the past like 10 years. Patrick Mahomes is the only exception. So you have to capitalize right now. The Texans, if they want to win a Super Bowl, going by history standards, they have to do it in 2024, 2025. So I love the move. I mean, why not? Worst case scenario is he brings down the locker room. I don't think D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud will let that happen. Diggs isn't going in there to be a leader. They have their leaders in place.
You're so right, though, about spending the money because you know that when they drafted CJ Stroud, they were like, man, he's going to be really good. They didn't know he was going to be this good.
No.
This guy, talk about overperforming your draft order, your draft pick status. Like, I don't care if he was pick number one, he still overperformed it. Like,
absolutely.
Number one overall won't compete with CJ Stroud. There hasn't been a guy out of the draft this good in a long time.
I agree.
And if you're the Texans' office, when you're sitting down this offseason, you say to everybody in that locker or in that room, wherever you are, you look in their eyes and you say, I don't care what the cost is. If we don't build a team around Stroud right now, this is our best chance to spend as much money as we need to get to that next level and hopefully a Super Bowl with a quarterback that we don't have to pay for another couple of years.
That is the show today. Ryan, it's been good to talk to you. I'm glad we got back from vacation, jumping back into it. It was fun catching up with you, man. Thanks for sitting down with me again.
I've got my bills fixed, out of my system. Now I'm ready to go on, and we still got a mock draft to do later on, don't we?
Ooh, we sure do. Might do that next week. No promises, but probably next week. I mean, we're running out of time, so it's going to be next week or the week after.
Next week or bust.
Subscribe to the channel. Tell your friends about it. We appreciate all the support. We will be here throughout all of the offseason covering the draft and anything else that happens in the summer. And then, of course, we will bluff our way through the 2024 NFL season right alongside all of you. Ryan, thanks for being with me, man. I will see you next week. We'll see you all next week. New videos coming at you every single week on the Sports Bluff channel. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's show. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for even more content, follow us on YouTube or click the link in the description for all things Sports Bluff.